The first lesson is from the Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. For since the law has but a shadow of good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. But in these sacrifices there is a remainder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sacrificed through the offerings of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the gospel. Our gospel today is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, 16 through 21. The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut your door and pray for your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Where you're standing, let's pray. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place with yourself. Open our ears and open our hearts, so that in the spoken word and in the written word, we might know your living word, Jesus Christ. To his glory alone we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Those who are torn on the horn between season and season, time and time, between hour and hour, those who wait in darkness. These are words from T.S. Eliot's poem Ash Wednesday. Torn on the horn between season and season. Like a lot of poetry, I don't know exactly what it means. And I don't know what T.S. Eliot meant for it to mean. And this may not have been his intention, but what it evokes for me is the image of sacrifice. The Jewish sacrificial system used an altar that had horns on each corner standing up, coming out from each corner, and an altar that had sacrifices made on it year after year after year, a reminder of sins, as we heard Sonia just read. Today we are between season and season. We've come to the end of the season of Epiphany, and we begin the season of Lent. And it begins with this service, Ash Wednesday. For those who are returning year after year, and those who have never been to this service before, beware. It is not for the faint of heart. Today, on this strange season, this strange day between seasons, we are asked to contemplate our mortality, asked to name in detail, to confess all the ways that we have failed, both individually and as a human race. Today, we lay ourselves bare. We bear ourselves and we sacrifice our pride and our self-sufficiency before God. Today, in a way, we are torn on the horn. And we may rightly ask, why? Do we truly need this reminder that we don't live perfect lives? I am acutely aware of the fact that I do not leave a perfect life. Agonizingly aware of it every single day. Do we need to offer the sacrifice of self year after year? Do we need this cross of ash smeared on our foreheads, this yearly reminder that we too will die? As a priest, it is my duty to sign with the ash everyone who comes forward, whether it is the person nearing the end of a long life or a baby born yesterday. And to remind each person that you are mortal, that you come from dust, and that to dust you shall return. Oh, what a strange service, in which we are laid bare before God, stripped of all our justifications, all our pretenses, forced to confront everything that we try so hard for the rest of the year to avoid. And why on earth would anyone choose voluntarily to be here? If you are here, if you are watching online, maybe it's because you know, or maybe you have a sense, or maybe you just have a desperate hope that this is where help, where relief, where succor is to be found. That healing can be found only when all of our pretenses have been stripped away. Only when we have dared to draw near and to silence all the noise. To look directly into ourselves and into the loving face that made us and that redeemed us. T.S. Eliot's poem continues, "Where shall the word be found? Where will the word resound? There is no place of grace for those who avoid the face." On Ash Wednesday and in Lent, we are invited to face our condition head on, to confront our sin and our failings head on, and then look into the beloved face of God and find that it is indeed a place of grace. In the style of Hebrew poetry, Eliot repeats the same thing in the next line in a different way. There is no time to rejoice for those who walk among the noise and deny the voice. In Lent, we are called to turn our back on the noise, to still the chaos within and without, to let the silence in so that we can hear that still, small voice. For it is only when we have lost all our careful shields and our painstakingly constructed walls, only when we have come to the very end of ourselves and we realize that we can go no further, that we can fully receive the word spoken over us, the word from Hebrews. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. We have been sanctified, made holy, whole, accepted, beloved, redeemed. The offering of the body. In the body prepared for him, Jesus lived that life we could not live. He lived the will of God fully and faithfully as we could not do. And he offers us that fullness, that faithfulness, that holiness and wholeness. As we are torn on the horn between season and season, as we are stripped bare and laid out empty with nothing to offer in return but our own fear and our shame and our sorrow, we look up into the beloved face and we find grace. We are brought into the most holy place and seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And we are marked with a sign of the cross, sealed as Christ's own, beloved forever. In Lent, we take on disciplines that help plow the soil of our lives. Life-giving practices like prayer and fasting and giving that prepare our hearts for the shock of Easter morning. But before we come to those practices, before we come to this voluntary renunciation of self and this willing acceptance of a narrow path, we look into the face and we hear the word of grace. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. We belong in God's presence through the work that has been done on our behalf. We have been made holy, and nothing we do over the next 40 days and nothing we don't do over the next 40 days will change that. We have been made holy. That is what the stripping bare does. Sitting here in the silence, leaving the noise behind, we can hear the voice calling us beloved. Laying it all down, looking up into the face, we find grace. Another poet, Jan Richardson, gives us language for what God is doing here in the dust. She says, "All those days you felt like dust, like dirt, as if all you had to do was turn your face toward the wind and be scattered to the four corners or swept away by the smallest breath as insubstantial. Did you not know what the Holy One can do with dust? Did you not know what the Holy One can do with dust? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, we have been sanctified once and for all. Through his body formed of the dust and seated in the heavenly places, we are made whole." Richardson continues, "So let us not be marked not for sorrow. Let us be marked not for shame, but for claiming what God can do with the dust, within the dirt, within the stuff of which the world is made inside the smudge we bear. Beloved, we are signed with the cross and marked as Christ's own forever." I'm going to close with a time of prayer, and I invite you to dwell in this prayer. It is on the longer side, but it is worth it. Let's pray. Holy and merciful God, we come to you torn between seasons, between what has been and what is beginning, between the noise we carry and the silence we are afraid to enter. We lay down our careful words, our well-practiced defenses, our small offerings and repeated efforts to make ourselves worthy of your love. We confess that we have hidden from your face and filled our lives with noise so we would not have to hear your voice. Meet us here, O God, in the place where we are stripped bare. Meet us in the dust of our truth, in the ashes of our regret, in the weakness we would rather not name. Thank you for the body given for us, for the will obeyed on our behalf, for the once-for-all gift that has made us holy. Take the dust we carry and breathe your life into it. Take the ash upon our brows and mark it with your mercy. Take what feels small and scattered in us and gather it into your grace. As we enter this season of repentance and longing, give us courage to face you, grace to lay down the noise, and trust to receive the word you speak over us, that we are accepted, that we are beloved, that we belong in your presence because of what Christ has done. And send us out marked not for shame but for hope, not for despair but for the deep promise of what you can do with dust. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who was given for us and who lives for us, now and forever. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.